News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Best-selling author Stephanie Prisoner revealed to News Talk that she was diagnosed with autism this year at the age of 34. Speaking on the Anton Savage show, the 34-year-old said that while she's always felt a little bit different, it was only recently that she received a diagnosis.
I internalised it, thought there was something wrong with me, did endless personality tests online, quizzes, was constantly like, what's wrong with me? What am I? Why am I different? Am I an INTJ, an ENFT, you know, these Myers-Briggs tests, doing BuzzFeed quizzes about like, what type of soap are you? Just, I knew there was something and I couldn't, maybe it was that I was a Taurus, but actually it was that I was autistic.
So how common is it to be diagnosed with autism as an adult? Well, for more, we're joined now by Dr. Philomena McCarthy, Senior Clinical Psychologist at the Adult Autism Practice. Good morning, Philomena. Is it unusual to get a diagnosis in your 30s?
Hi, Ciara. Good morning. Certainly in the adult autism practice, we are seeing many women, not only women, some men and people who identify, of course, as trans and gender fluid, etc., coming for assessment because in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, and we've even met people in their 70s, this hasn't been available to them up until now. So we are seeing it, but we don't have a true picture of how common it really is.
Sorry, Ciara.
People don't disclose it quite often as well, even after assessment.
Okay.
Not everybody discloses it to their employers or indeed to their families.
I was going to ask you, is this because it's difficult? I know there are long waiting lists for assessments, etc., as children, so that's part of the issue. The access to pathways to diagnoses is difficult. But, Philomena, I think it's probably fair to say when I was young, I don't remember anyone ever being referred to as autistic necessarily. I think people didn't have diagnoses put upon them. Maybe they weren't understood or maybe they weren't available. Whereas now that it's quite a normal phenomenon to have people who are referred to sometimes as being on the spectrum or whatever. So is it the case that people who are now adults didn't have access to diagnoses at all when they were young and now that's why they're being diagnosed late?
I think absolutely, and many of the women that we would meet would actually talk about often in school they were seen as being very academic and often very quiet, so there was no attention brought to teachers or other people in the school setting, for example. And quite often they also describe if their parents did bring them to a GP because they had concerns around their development, often they were dismissed and told, oh no, you know, your child is just like a typical three-year-old and that's why they're doing X, Y and Z. So certainly I think there wasn't the understanding and the lack of awareness. And people really discounted themselves even when they begin this journey because their view of themselves doesn't match the representations they're seeing on television. And quite often people tell me, well, I talk, I have a very good job. We meet lots of doctors and lawyers and teachers and people in the arts and people studying very exciting things in college. So people say, well, you know, I'm able to do many things, so it just doesn't fit for them initially. But of course, when they begin to really listen to autistic voices and autistic women in particular and read about their experiences, their stories really resonate. And that's what sets them on this journey.
You've mentioned women with autism there several times. Do women present differently to men? Is that one of the reasons that they get diagnosed later?
I think, you know, I'm not sure if there is a different presentation, but I think there is a gender bias there, certainly. And I think women talk a lot about copying other people to fit in and masking. And often women are told that they can't be autistic because they do have empathy or they have many friends or indeed they can maintain reasonable eye contact. So I think there are different expectations and women describe learning to fit in a different way. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why they are missed.
And you've said a few things there. You've said like people come forward and they have autism and they have these great jobs. They're in the arts, they're doctors, they're all these different roles in life and they're doing great. And you said that they do have empathy and they do make eye contact. For some people then, is autism a relatively mild diagnosis insofar as that they really aren't very different than people who don't have autism in that case?
I think when we meet with people, we really look at their identity and their autistic identity, and we look at the person across all of their areas. And certainly I think people have talked about how it can be quite frustrating for them to be saying, well, you can't be autistic, or at least if you are, you must be very mild. You know, we talk about autism. And I think I listened to Stephanie's interview over the weekend, and she had a really lovely description. She talked about a sound engineering desk and the faders, and where somebody could have faders set to different levels. So, for example, for one person, they may have strengths in various different areas. Somebody described recently how they can carry out international research, but in fact making dinner can be very challenging for them. So I think it's very nuanced and really individual to the person.
Look, thank you very much for giving us that insight this morning. That is Dr. Philomena McCarthy, Senior Clinical Psychologist at the Adult Autism Practice.